Was Atlanta the best cup race we've ever seen? Let's talk about it. Welcome back to another episode of Ranting and Racing. I am the host of this program, Michael Monroe. And let me tell you what an exciting race we had at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Wow, three wide for the win. It's been a long time since we've seen something like that. Let's talk about the Ambetter Health 400. I want to start off with the whole controversy surrounding Joey Logano. I did actually watch qualifying this weekend, and I didn't notice it during qualifying. I did see him messing with his window net, but I never really paid attention to his gloves. But I think Fox did a great job. But if you look at his glove, it looks like someone described it as a baseball mitt, and I think they're correct because he sewed a piece from the thumb to the index finger. I guess to prevent as much air as possible from coming in the side window. While I think it's very smart, obviously someone must have seen it and told NASCAR about it, and then he was issued a penalty. He had to start at the longest line of the field, so dead last, and then he had to serve a drive-through penalty. This dude got super lucky. Joey got super lucky. The lap two caution came out as he was serving his penalty. And man, that saved his race, I believe. Can't say much more about that. I expect some sort of either monetary penalty or some sort of penalty to come out sometime this week. Yeah, pretty interesting turn of events there from sitting on, you know, the front row to starting dead last. But talking about lap two, the incident that happened there, man. Todd Gilliland was really just trying to cut his teammate a break and let him in line, but it stacked up the entire field. And man, Austin Dillon, some of the worst luck in a race car this year already. Crashed out of the Daytona 500, gets crashed on lap two here. Luckily, he was able to get going, but some drivers, you know, had to go to the garage. Colleague Racing's number 16, Josh Williams, he had to go to the garage and he was done for the day. But Alex Bowman was also involved, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, who spent some time in the garage, Noah Gregson, who ended up ending his day because of it. Harrison Burton got a little bit of damage, and then the race winner, Daniel Suarez, got damage as well. So I don't want to call it a rookie mistake, but definitely a mistake, maybe lack of practice. Man, that's another whole topic to talk about is, who let these guys out there without any practice? Whoever's in charge of that, we need practice for the fans and the drivers. I know the teams really want to save money, but at the same time, I don't feel like cutting practice is a good way to do that. Because if you look at any of the other professional series, IndyCar, Formula One, IMSA, they all have practice sessions. And NASCAR, with his 20-minute practice sessions or no practice sessions, I feel is really hurting the fans more than anything. So back to the Ambetter Health 400. Yeah, stage one was a lot of chaos with that crash at lap two. Kind of calmed everyone down for a little bit, I feel like. And I feel it calmed everyone down enough so we got green flag pit stops in stage two, which turned into chaos as well. The first round of pit stops started, and then we had speeding penalties, crashes, Kyle Busch, Josh Berry, Ross Chastain, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and Bubba Wallace all ended up with speeding penalties during that course of events. Actually, Josh Berry ended up with two speeding penalties. He sped coming down pit road to serve his penalty. So pretty crazy on the speeding penalties. That split pit road was just a little goofy, in my opinion. There's already enough rules in racing. I don't think we need to add any more rules. It really caught Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski out because I think Denny Hamlin slowed down way too early when he was in the 90-mile-an-hour pit road, and he started slowing down even further, and I think Brad did the same thing. But during the green flag pit stops, there was a crash between the 24 and the 34. William Byron, the Daytona 500 winner, and the pole sitter of the Ambetter Hell 400, that was Michael McDowell, and he locked up and turned into the 24, spinning both of them out, coming onto pit road, cost Ty Gibbs so much time trying to dodge both of them. And my big question to NASCAR is, why was this not a caution? This would have been a caution any other time, but because it was under green flag pit stops, this didn't turn out to be a caution. Both cars hit the wall, spun out. One of them was sliding towards the racetrack. Why was this not a caution? It is so inconsistent with NASCAR. Cautions need to be thrown. This was very dangerous. You had two cars sitting at the entrance to pit road where you're coming in at 90 miles an hour from 170 miles an hour trying to check up to get onto pit road. This should have been a caution. I don't care if you're in the middle of a pit cycle or not. I don't care if it's going to throw timing and scoring for a loop. I don't care. Red flag the race to set the lineup. I don't care. Safety is a number one priority, and NASCAR failed William Byron and Michael McDowell, and it also cost Ty Gibbs time on the racetrack. So, failure to NASCAR on this, 100% ridiculous that this wasn't thrown as a caution. I don't care if they started the roll or not. A caution should be thrown no matter what. When a driver's life could be in danger, it needs to be a caution. There's my rant for the week. Coming to the end of stage two. Sorry, I have to refocus now after the rant there. Coming to the end of stage two, Joey Logano tried to put his car in an imaginary hole the 17 occupied, and it actually ended up turning the 22 into the wall, and Denny Hamlin come in and just slammed into the back of the 17. And I thought for sure Denny Hamlin's day was over. But somehow these new cars are so strong, and I know Denny talked about that in his podcast, that these cars are just so strong. As long as you don't destroy the suspension pieces, they will keep going. And he obviously proved that, because they just kind of pushed that nose back down, and he ended up taking the lead again at one point in that car before him and Chase Briscoe got involved in a crash where Chase Briscoe took a nasty hit to the outside wall. I don't think that was really talked about a lot, but it was a pretty decent impact with the outside wall. Luckily, Chase seemed to be okay. All the drivers, for the most part, though, I know Kyle Larson got caught up in that accident as well, seemed like they were having a good time with all the reports I heard and were reading about. It seemed like all the drivers were just having a good time. So, very, very interesting race. The final caution come out between the 4 and the 77. Josh Berry, who had actually ended up back into the top 10 after his speeding penalties that he had to serve, and Carson Hocevar. Carson decided to do a wheelie and had three wheels off the ground at one point after Josh come off the wall and kind of just slammed into the side of him. But that set up for an amazing 5 or 6 lap shootout. And man, it was a great race coming to the checkered flag. Daniel Suarez took it three wide. He was on the outside. Kyle Busch in the middle and Ryan Blaney on the bottom. And watching it live, I swear that Ryan Blaney won that race, but it comes down to who got the better run off of turn four. And clearly it was the 99 of Daniel Suarez, because what an incredible, incredible race it was. I know it was in the top 10 on SportsCenter, which, like I said on someone's comment on X, I'm shocked that ESPN even gave NASCAR any sort of coverage at all. I do believe this was a very, very, very good race. Probably a very great race. But at the end of the day, I am kind of concerned because NASCAR released this Netflix documentary. I thought it was a pretty good documentary, honestly. And I'm hoping that we get fans from the documentary because, like I said, I thought it was a great documentary, really highlighted some of the younger drivers in NASCAR, which I feel is something that is lacking, just the personalities of the drivers and things like that. So I feel like the Netflix documentary was good. The fans that watched the documentary and now are tuning into the actual races, they got the Daytona 500 and they got Atlanta. What's going to happen when we roll into Las Vegas? If that race turns into spread out, normal mile and a half racing where there's not the crashes, there's not the battles for the lead as much, what's that going to do to the Netflix fans? Drive to Survive kind of had that with, you know, the U.S. really was heavily involved in Formula One, and then all of a sudden Max goes out and absolutely dominates last season. So my problem with that is hopefully that the racing continues to stay good so that we can continue to keep the fans involved. I will say, looking at the TV numbers that just come out this morning, it was TV ratings were up 5%, 4.546 million viewers. Like I said, 5% from last year's race at California. So is the Netflix documentary working? It's possible, and I hope it is. I hope that the fans that watch SportsCenter seen the highlights that ESPN showed and kind of tune into Vegas. But at the same time, I am kind of skeptical that if the racing kind of gets, I don't want to say boring, but not as exciting, then the casual viewer may flip to something else. So those are my thoughts on the Ambetter Health 400. Make sure that you continue to follow the X page for Ranting and Racing and also the TikTok for Ranting and Racing. We put out content there quite a bit, not so much on Facebook or Instagram as much. And I know that we also try to kind of tweet or X or whatever we're calling it now during the race. So like I said, make sure you follow along with us, especially on X and TikTok. And I will talk to you guys later this week for more NASCAR coverage for the Las Vegas Pennzoil 400.